Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Donald Trump hits the campaign trail after yet another legal setback. Congressman George Santos is charged in a Justice Department probe, plus markets brace for U.S. inflation data.
We're actually expecting inflation to remain relatively steady, and that is not such great news for either consumers or the Federal Reserve, because it means that the fight against inflation will continue for even longer.
And we'll look at why paying for new breakthrough obesity drugs isn't getting any easier. It's Wednesday, May 10th. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Former President Donald Trump is set to face the cameras a day after a federal jury held him liable for sexual abuse and defamation of columnist E. Jean Carroll. Tuesday's verdict marks the second time this year that Trump has faced a significant legal setback, and that misconduct could be on the agenda when he participates in a CNN town hall in New Hampshire tonight. That appearance is part of a strategy to appeal to a broader audience and key swing voters. Trump has been riding a wave of strong poll numbers, and many of his current or expected 2024 Republican opponents did not immediately comment on Tuesday's verdict. Trump has denied wrongdoing in the Carroll case, and his lead lawyer says he plans to appeal the verdict. Federal prosecutors have filed criminal charges against embattled New York Congressman George Santos, according to people familiar with the matter. Details of the sealed charges couldn't immediately be determined. However, Santos has been under federal investigation since at least December and has faced accusations of unlawful activity during his 2022 campaign. Santos has admitted to misleading voters about his past, but said he hasn't committed any crimes and intends to serve in Congress. Santos's spokeswoman didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, while a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn, which has been leading the investigation, declined to comment. Tucker Carlson is trading television for Twitter. The former Fox News host says he's launching a new show on the social media site in the vein of the Fox program that he hosted for more than 6 years. Carlson made that announcement in a video posted to the platform.
Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter, where we are now. Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing.
The announcement puts Carlson on a collision course with Fox, which ousted him last month while still keeping him under contract. Twitter CEO Elon Musk has made it clear that the site has not signed a deal of any kind with Carlson, and the company auto-replied to a request for comment with a poop emoji. And we should note that Fox News parent Fox Corp and News Corp, the parent of the Wall Street Journal's publisher, share common ownership. Markets are in a holding pattern this morning ahead of key U.S. inflation data. The reading on consumer prices for April is due out at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, and our national economics reporter Gabe Rubin says that core inflation is expected to remain steady at around 5%.
Part of it is because gas prices went up in April, so that's part of the reason for a headline increase. And another thing is that inflation is proving to be pretty so-called sticky in services, especially in-person services like leisure and hospitality and healthcare. Those industry groups have still not gained all the jobs that they had in 2019, and that's pushing up wages. And as a result, prices continue to go up, and that is not such great news for either consumers or the Federal Reserve, because it means that the fight against inflation will continue for even longer. though it doesn't necessarily mean that the Fed will have to continue to raise rates, because this firming of inflation was pretty much expected, and most economists expect inflation to fall in the coming months.
The inflation picture and what that means for interest rates is also crucial for the U.S. housing market. Yesterday, we reported that home prices slipped in the first quarter, with one-third of metro areas seeing prices fall. And this morning, data shows that the supply of new homes for sale is also dwindling. According to Realtor.com, there were roughly half as many homes for sale in April this year as there were in April 2019. And year on year, supply has slipped by about 20%. In other market news, Toyota has reported rising net profit in its latest quarterly earnings update. The Japanese automaker said a recovery in sales helped to drive those results, while a weaker yen helped to offset higher materials costs. Meanwhile, Walt Disney, Wendy's, and video game company Roblox will add their earnings into the mix when they report results later in the day. And Turkey's top opposition candidate for president has said he would steer the country closer to NATO and revive its bid to join the European Union if he wins Sunday's election. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu spoke exclusively to our Middle East correspondent Jared Malson, who gave us this update from Istanbul ahead of the vote.
What the current president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has really tried to do during the war in Ukraine is play both sides. He's sold weapons to Ukraine while also expanding the economic relationship with Russia. And what Kılıçdaroğlu, the opposition's candidate, is promising is to really strengthen Turkey's role in NATO, to really shift the rhetoric in terms of siding with the West in the context of the war. But he's also saying that he wants to protect Turkey's investments in Russia and not really promising a change in the economic relationship at this time.
Turkey's election is expected to have a very close outcome, with neither candidate expected to get an outright majority. Coming up, even as new obesity drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy are hailed as a potential breakthrough for those fighting to lose weight, paying for treatment is emerging as a battle of its own. That story after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
A new class of obesity drugs is fast becoming available to patients around the world. Doctors are touting the health benefits of drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro, but demand for those much-hyped treatments is quickly outpacing supply. And in the United States, where insurers and employers are setting up barriers between patients and their prescriptions, access to the drugs remains elusive. Peter Loftus covers pharmaceuticals and healthcare for us at the Journal. Peter, you have been writing about these drugs for months now, yet the extraordinary demand for them just isn't letting up, is it?
No, it's not. It seems to be building momentum. To set the stage, I think what's really driving this is the magnitude of the weight loss. So we're talking in the teens or more than 20% as a percentage of your body weight. That's more than what we've seen in the past with any type of diet drug. And so that's what's really driving the demand. And yes, I think even after this sort of caught fire last year, the demand just seems to have intensified even more.
All right, so these drugs, really high in demand, seem to be giving good initial results. But we have to talk about the elephant in the room, right? That they're not cheap. Tell us just how expensive these treatments are, and crucially for prospective American patients, are they covered by insurance?
The drugs are not cheap. So for Ozempic, we're talking about $930 a month list price in the U.S., and then ranging up to about $1,300 a month for Wegovy, which is a very similar drug but is actually approved for weight loss. And so that's a big burden for many people. And insurance coverage compared with other types of drugs is not great in the U.S. for these drugs. For one thing, you know, Medicare, which is the government program for the elderly, does not cover any weight loss drugs. And so that entire population really faces a cost barrier. And then even for people with private insurance, it's not universal. Some health plans do cover it, but many don't. And so it really just depends on where you work and how willing your employer or your insurance provider is to pay for most of these drugs.
Yeah, so where does that leave patients who need access?
In a difficult position, in the sense that if they can afford it, they're going to pay the full list price themselves. Not many people can do that. There are options in the sense that the manufacturers of these drugs do make available savings coupons that can defray your costs, but that doesn't necessarily go all the way to making them affordable. And so patients are either foregoing these drugs, maybe they're being offered older diet drugs that are generic and lower cost, but they don't help you lose as much weight as this new generation of drugs.
What is at the core of the argument then from Medicare and from private insurers about why this isn't something they're ready to consider covering now?
Yeah, well, I think it's a matter of things may be moving in the direction of more coverage, but there's a drag from the historical experience with diet drugs. And so there have been times in the past where drugs that seemed promising in helping people lose weight turned out to have very serious safety risks. People might remember the fen-phen combination that was big in the 90s, until it was shown that that was causing a serious heart valve problem. And then also there has been sort of a historic perception that a diet drug is more for cosmetic purposes and not necessarily for health purposes. And then on top of all that, there's been the traditional view of obesity and being overweight as something that is up to the individual to address by modifying their lifestyle and by trying diet and exercise. And so I think all of those factors have contributed to this sort of very spotty insurance coverage in the private realm, and then Medicare actually, by law, not covering these drugs.
On Medicare, has there been any sort of cost-benefit analysis done on what it would mean if such obesity drugs were to get Medicare approval?
Yeah, there's estimates that if Medicare were to cover anti-obesity drugs, and if that led then to a lot of use among Medicare patients, especially of this new generation of drugs that cost a lot of money, that could end up accounting for 1/5 of total Medicare drug spending in any given year. And so that then has implications for, you know, use of taxpayer money for this, and could even contribute to rising premiums for people who have Medicare drug plans.
Peter, I think this conversation has made it clear there are a lot of unknowns still surrounding this new class of obesity drugs. And yet I am struck by how historic a moment we seem to be in nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And now I think because you see these drugs being so effective in inducing weight loss, it sort of really exposes how diet and exercise alone, they just don't always work for the average person. It's led to a realization that this should be viewed as a disease that many, many people have. And here we have new medications that can treat that disease and potentially help improve outcomes, not to mention all the people that also have type 2 diabetes. And so it's almost like a return to the old days in the pharma industry of just selling these mass market medicines. If you think of when the anti-cholesterol drugs first became big in the 80s and 90s, used by millions of people, and it did seem to make a dent in reducing the average person's risk of having heart attacks and other cardiovascular problems. Now we just have different diseases, but diseases that affect many people now with new options that seem to be very effective, still with question marks about how much downstream benefit they can have, how long people have to take them, how we as a society are going to pay for it all. I think those are the big question marks over this whole space.
And that was Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Loftus, who covers healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry for us. And finally, As if the rules around tipping weren't complicated enough, get ready to be asked to add a tip at the self-checkout machine. And we're not just talking about a few pennies here, but as much as 20% everywhere from cafes and airports to stadiums. Companies say that these automated gratuity prompts can significantly boost staff tips and pay. But Journal Consumer Trends reporter Rachel Wolf says that the lack of interaction with employees during a transaction is leaving some customers wondering what exactly they're tipping for.
Shoppers are perplexed. Some of them are really angry. They say that tipping is everywhere and they're starting to get fatigued by seeing so many tip screens. They emphasize that they always tip for service. They recognize how important tips are to employee pay. Many people I spoke to have either worked in the service industry previously or still work in the service industry. These are not people who are stingy by any means. They are really skeptical of where these tips are going, and they worry that companies are using this as like gotcha tactic. It feels like a bit of a scheme, they say.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.